And we're live. What's going on, folks? Welcome to episode 15 of the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. It is week 12, gentlemen. I'm your host, Kyle Allen, and we are back at full strength. Matthew Walters is back off a big move, and our homie from the Capitol is here too. Matthew, how's the new house?
We are loving our new house. It is so much more space than we had before. I get kind of winded walking from one end to the other. That just says more about my physical fitness than it does about the house, actually. But it also has solar panels, so that's cool. Wow. Save a little bit on electric, so why can that?
I don't know if you guys watched the draft and saw Cliff Kingsbury's crib, but yours might rival it with solar panels. That's impressive. And on the other end of the spectrum, Eric, you are looking great despite mildly homeless. I see a beanie as well as a jacket with lapels. What's going on, man?
This is the height of fashion in the nation's capital. This is what everyone does.
Yeah, can I see those elbow patches? I think the stream needs to see those.
Yeah, baby.
While you're there, you got some new ink too, I hear.
Oh yeah, so I got my first and my second tattoo this past Friday.
All at once.
Yeah, you want to check it out?
Is it family friendly? Can we share it on the stream?
For sure.
Okay.
These are nice. All right.
Didn't know where this was. Oh.
This is the chemical structure of dopamine.
I love it.
But I cut off the amino acid, so it's just dope.
Oh my gosh.
And the second one, this was a bit more
but also most Eric tattoo. Whoa.
More impromptu.
Whoa.
It's just an egg.
It's an egg.
Because I love breakfast.
Oh my goodness. You said that was family friendly. That almost got weird.
Honestly, it almost wasn't.
They look fantastic. Shout out to your tattoo artist. I don't know if you want to give him a shout out.
At Rick's Tattoo in Arlington, Virginia.
Hey, check it out if you're in the area or not. Just fly all the way to him. Alrighty. Well, this week we celebrate Thanksgiving, a time for many that means hopefully all of the three F's, being food, family, and for us, most importantly, football. And as the season's winding down and we're really getting into the crunch for the fantasy playoffs, we find that the injury reports are just getting longer and longer. But here at the Next Man Up, we have a saying that the best ability is availability. And as you know, a player that's injured and not in your lineup can't help you. So we're here to help you find players that can get you over the hump and get you through these last few weeks into the playoffs. So for the sake of organization, we're going to split up the news by position. So we're going to kick things off with the quarterbacks. Eric, give me a quick update on Kyler Murray. We know he's got a bye week this week, but can we expect him back after the bye?
Yeah, I think that Kyler really could have played in the last game if they weren't so confident that they were going to win that game. And feeling pretty, satisfied with their position in the division. I think that really what he's been needing with this ankle injury is rest. And he's going to have about 4 weeks of rest, including this bye week. So, a full month of rest, that's just about right for a low-grade ankle injury. I think he'll definitely be available for the Chicago game.
That's certainly encouraging for people like me that have him on rosters that desperately need wins heading into the playoffs. Matthew, speaking of heading into the playoffs, well, just kidding, the Bears probably aren't doing that anytime soon. Anyways, Justin Fields is dealing with a rib injury. What can you tell me what's going on with him? Do we have any updates?
So, yeah, he injured his ribs during the game on Sunday, and Andy Dalton had to step in and play. Now, all accounts right now are that they are just bruised ribs. However, he is doubtful for Thursday. Now, we have seen it a couple times this year where it's been reported that someone has bruised ribs, and then the day before the game, they're like, no, just kidding. They're actually fractured ribs. They're going to be out 3 weeks now. So, by all accounts right now, they are just bruised and it's a pain tolerance thing, which he'll miss this week and probably be back next, but something to keep an eye on going forward.
Yeah, ribs are a tough thing, especially like you were saying, a lot of times initially the reports, oh, it's just bruised. And then later on when swelling and things of that nature go down, you can see more on an extra imaging that they may do that they can't do in the stadium. In the interim, next man up, as you said, Andy Dalton filled in for him. He's going to be starting most likely for Chicago this week, and it is a Thursday night game. I'm not or I don't know if it's night, but it's a Thursday game. I'm not super excited about Andy Dalton. If you're in a super flex league and you are just strapped, you have to start somebody. They're playing the Lions. So if anything, the defense they're playing against isn't stellar, but he's definitely not somebody I'm looking at like, oh yeah, he's a must start. If you've got other options, I would pursue that. Eric, Baker Mayfield has hurt just about everything on his body this year. what's the latest with his, let me see, shoulder, foot, and knee?
Yeah, it's not good, Cotton. I mean, really, especially for someone like Baker Mayfield, where, you know, part of what has made him so dynamic in, you know, his career has been his ability to make, you know, plays that, you know, maybe a more pure pocket passer couldn't do. And it's been clear that his shoulder injury has been hampering him for quite some time. He hasn't been a very effective quarterback, at least from a fantasy perspective. So with the addition of this foot and this knee injury, you know, if I had any other option, I'd be looking at it. I think it also says something where, you know, they lost Odell Beckham. You know, that's a big passing weapon that they don't have. Donovan Peoples-Jones has been okay, but, you know, he's kind of a one-shot wonder. How much can you rely on him as a quarterback unless it's one of his deep bombs? So I really suspect that with Baker's injuries, the team's going to lean on their running game, which is what they want to do anyhow. You know, if you're a fantasy manager, then, you know, if you have any other option, even I would consider Andy Dalton over Baker Mayfield, then that might be a better bet for the next couple of weeks while we figure this out.
Yeah, it might be safer to go with somebody that you know is going to be on the field at 100% playing against a soft defense. Yeah, you brought up DPJ. We'll talk about him when we get to wide receivers. They've got Jarvis Landry banged up as well. Kareem Hunt may be coming back soon. We're not sure. So definitely look for the Browns to be ground and pound, at least until Baker's back to 100%. Matthew, Jared Goff, the other side of that Chicago game, he's dealing with an oblique injury. We saw Tim Boyle start in his place once. Are we going to see him again on Thursday?
Well, let's start with what the coach said about it. Coach said they are leaning towards Goff starting, but then went on to say that it's a 60% chance of it being 50-50. So 60% of the time, it works every time.
Yes, that's awesome. So
if you carry the one.
Do a little math. So who the heck knows? I would doubt Goff plays. I feel like they're just trying to get information out there where, oh, yeah, prepare for Goff. But even if you're preparing for – I mean, okay – two turnover prone crappy QBs, like, does it really matter which QB you're preparing for? But I guess to the Lions it does. So, but yeah, I mean, I doubt he plays, but there's a 60% chance that there's a 50-50 chance on it. So
gosh, that's some interesting math that they're doing there in Detroit. But hey, nothing says Thanksgiving like Tim Boyle and Andy Dalton. Just a riveting matchup. I am very excited to watch and will most definitely sit down and enter a food coma during and won't feel bad about missing it. All right. Last quarterback on our list here, we have Zach Wilson. Eric, he's dealing with a knee injury and you just abridged our notes, which I appreciate because I missed that. Joe Flacco, who should be starting in his absence, has been added to the COVID list. So is it Mike White season again? All over again?
No, I think Mike White joins him on the COVID list, actually.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be Zach Wilson by default. He's the guy that they really have wanted to showcase this year. That's been clear. It's been about a month since his initial injury, which is pretty accurate for his the timeline of his injury. You know, you may see him in a knee brace. He's not someone that you would necessarily call a Konami code quarterback right now. So, you know, he's not really going to need to be that mobile out there. But I mean, Zach Wilson hasn't been performing this year. You know, if you're in a redraft league, you're definitely not starting him. And if you're in a dynasty league, then he's definitely, you know, on your bench or perhaps even in your taxi right now. So, you know, he will play this week. His effectiveness, I think that's totally up in the air.
Yeah. Effectiveness has been in question all year for him, and possibly rushing back a little bit from an injury is not going to help his cause. But moving on to running backs, Matthew, Cordarrelle Patterson started the season off his career best year, honestly, on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, he's always been known as a great kick returner, but he's really kind of showed out this year as both a receiver and a running back. But he's dealing with an ankle injury. And I know last week a lot of people were excited. They're like, all right, it's going to be Wayne Gallman. It's finally his time. I was at the Falcons game, and I don't think I saw Wayne Gallman in the building. Who's going to fill in for Cordarrelle Patterson if he can't go?
I mean, we saw it doesn't look good. Like, they, surprisingly enough, they need him out there. And supposedly he was pretty close last week. Like, he went through warmups a little bit, and they just kind of precautionary said, no, no, you're not playing. But the Falcons, I mean, they're kind of terrible with him out there. But without him, they can't move the ball down the field. They look like the worst offense in the NFL. So hopefully plays. The fact that he was close last week, I would think he plays this week. So that's good for Patterson owners as well. Because, I mean, if he plays, you're playing him. Because Falcons are going to feed him the ball, because everyone else is pretty terrible on that team.
Yeah, ever since Calvin Ridley took his sabbatical, it's kind of been Cordarrelle Patterson or bust for Atlanta. Riding MARTA to the stadium, somebody got the alert on their phone, and I overheard him go, what the expletive, Patterson's not going to play? He's the only one here that wants to win. That is a perfect description of what's going on in Atlanta right now. I brought him up just a second ago. Eric, fill us in on Kareem Hunt and his calf injury. What's going on with his IR status and when we might see him back?
Yeah, I mean, the scuttlebug is that he'll be playing this week. The good news is that he does have a later game. I think he has a Sunday night game against Baltimore. This is going to be a case where, you know, it's been about 6 weeks since his initial injury. That fits the bill for, you know, about when this type of injury should be healed up. You've got to follow the practice reports this week, leading all the way up through Sunday, to see how much practice he's getting. But this is the kind of thing that, you know, you really could, you know, have partial practices during the week, continue to rest it, continue to load it, and then, you know, be available to play on Sunday. But, you know, if not, then it's definitely going to be something that they have a bye week next week, and then they play Baltimore again. So, you know, in my eyes, it's going to be this week or next week, but I would put my money on this week for him.
Well, that's great news for both the Browns and people that have been holding on to Kareem Hunt in their IR for what seems like entirely too long. He will be a welcomed addition back to lineups this week if he can go. Now, Matthew, Zeke Elliott left the game and then came back last week. He was initially listed as questionable, and then I think he actually got upgraded to healthy. But do we expect that he'll be limited this week, or you feel like he's good to go?
I feel like he's good to go. I mean, they upgraded him all the way. He's not even on the injury report anymore. So I feel like he's going to be good. Now, in the game, he sort of rolled up awkwardly, but he didn't really get checked out at all and kind of told everyone, no, I'm good. And they, you know, used him sparingly after that. But so I think they were a little precautious in the game itself. But by all accounts, he's going to be fine for Thursday. So maybe we'll get that Thanksgiving feast that sometimes Zeke has.
Yeah, if there was ever a time to feed Zeke, it is on Thanksgiving Day. All righty, Aaron Jones in Green Bay, Eric, dealing with an MCL sprain. He's missed 1 week already. Could we see him back as early as this week?
I doubt it. There's tons of reports saying 1 to 2 weeks, and that's entirely possible. But, you know, this is one of those injuries that it's more than just, you know, how is the structural integrity of the knee? I mean, there's little sensors in those ligaments that help keep your knee stable and help you move more effectively, you know, with more finesse. And you need that in the NFL. This is something that technically you could, you know, slap a brace on and, you know, give it a go. But I think that with AJ Dillon playing pretty effectively, I think that, you know, with Green Bay's position in the division, in the conference, looking ahead and knowing that they have a week 13 bye, you know, after this week, I really suspect that, you know, it would be better for them to rest Aaron Jones this week. He'll get the bye next week, and then he'll be a full go against Chicago week 14.
Totally agree. I don't see a reason to rush him back. And as you said, AJ Dillon's been playing well as his complement and as his backup last week, I'd be comfortable putting him in as an RB2 or a flex if I have him in a lineup. Matthew, a twofer here in New Orleans. Alvin Kamara and now Mark Ingram are both a little dinged up. What's going on with them for Thursday?
So, yeah, they're both dealing with knee issues. Kamara's been dealing with it for a couple weeks now and has missed some games. But he was a non-participant on Tuesday, which does not bode well for him. And Mark Ingram was also a non-participant on Tuesday. So that does not bode well for him. So the Saints are in a world of kind of trouble right now with all the injuries that are just starting to pile up for them with their QB going down earlier in the year. And now basically their first two running backs not looking good for being able to play this week.
Yeah. Well, the Thursday game on such short notice, it's going to be tough for them to get back to health. Hopefully it's they're holding them out for maintenance and they are ready to go, but it doesn't look like it with a Thursday night game. If you're absolutely desperate, the next man up would be Tony Jones Jr. He looked decent earlier in the season before he got hurt, but he just came back off of IR last week himself. So he's not somebody I'm looking at, you know, really excited to see what he can do. Maybe it's Taysom Hill, the running back. Maybe we'll get dual eligibility for Taysom Hill as a running back after this week. But yeah, things aren't looking great for running the ball in New Orleans this week. And then Eric, going north to New York, the Jets, Michael Carter's been a nice, some would say a surprise in that offense. It wasn't necessarily expected that he would be a top 20 back, but here we are. However, he's hurt himself. What's going on with Michael Carter?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely been a surprise. I think that there were a lot of people who were expecting much more of a timeshare, considering the other backs that they have on this roster. But, you know, Michael Carter has been really effective. Last week he suffered a low ankle sprain and he suffered it pretty early in the game and it just knocked him out. I think a lot of the reports are suspecting two-ish weeks, 2 to 3. And that's entirely possible depending on the grade of the sprain. We'll never know the specifics on the grade of the sprain, the severity of it necessarily, but you know, I think 2 weeks is possible, but you know, Saquon Barkley, he also had a low ankle sprain and he was out for about 4 weeks. So it's going to be really dependent on, you know, the specific scenario. 2 to 3 weeks could be entirely accurate, but you never know. You know, this is one of those things that I would expect at least a 2 week absence for. And then at that point, you just got to start watching the practice reports and following, you know, what the media is saying.
Yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on in New York. Next man up here, they've got both Tevin Coleman and Ty Johnson. And at the beginning of the year, it wasn't really clear who is going to be the starting running back for them. There was rumors that it was going to be Ty Johnson's job to lose. And then it's kind of started shifting around. Truly, I would expect Tevin Coleman to kind of be the one to roster. I feel like he's going to be the early down back. He's going to get the snaps at the goal line. Ty Johnson, I wouldn't be surprised if he turns into Wayne Gallman from last week, where people are like, oh, Michael Carter's out. Let me pick him up. I know he can catch passes and, you know, do both things that a running back's expected to do, but then just not get any run. Altogether, though, I'm not investing heavily in this backfield. I'm going to go out of order from our sheet because I accidentally gave Eric two in a row. I got to rest.
How dare you?
I got to rest the bell cow.
Rest up the cords.
Actually, no. What it is that it's a hamstring question, and I have to give Matthew a hamstring question because I always ask you about hamstrings.
Thank God, they haunt my dreams.
Rashad Penny, the poor man, cannot stay healthy for the life of him. It is just heartbreaking to me, but he's dealing with a hamstring injury of his own in Seattle. What's going on there?
First off, how dare you give me the hamstring? Clearly, they all go to Eric.
It's your curse now.
No. Another week, another Rashad Penny injury. That dude just, dare I say, injury prone?
Don't you do it.
I'm just kidding.
My ear.
But, so he's got, according to Pete Carroll, a slight hamstring injury. But as we know, Pete Carroll is Pete Carroll, the ever optimistic one. And as we know that Eric has preached all year, there's really no such thing as a slight hamstring injury. So be on the lookout for that. I mean, Alex Collins seems to be their go-to guy right now anyway. So this could go one of two ways. You could see Penny being fine going into the game, or you could see him wind up on IR at the end of the week. Like, it's really tough to say with these hamstring injuries. It's just something you gotta watch for on injury reports and whatnot.
Yeah, and then you, as you said, you compound that with Pete Carroll giving out injury reports. Like, who knows what to expect? At one point, Chris Carson was coming back, and the next week he's on season-ending IR. So definitely watch the practice reports and don't listen to Pete Carroll is the moral of the story. And as you said, next man up, Matt, Alex Collins. I mean, this year is the year of, if you're a veteran running back and you want to make a comeback, just wait for an injury. I mean, we've had Jordan Howard sightings and Tavius Murray and who else? Adrian Peterson, like
Devonta Freeman,
Le'Veon Bell,
Le'Veon.
But Todd Gurley.
I was about to say we are begging for a Todd Gurley sighting.
He must be in a wheelchair because I don't understand how he hasn't gotten a chance.
He's probably like coaching Division IV college football or something. Hopefully it exists.
That'd be awesome for that team.
The XFL?
Yeah, would be cool. The XFL. Yeah, he's working on his XFL team. All righty, last one, Eric. Elijah Mitchell still dealing with this finger injury. Is it time for him to come back? Does he still have the pin in it? Do we have any updates?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's considered day-to-day. There was chatter last week that it was possible that he would have played last week. I didn't think that that would have been smart or realistic, but at this point, he could totally play. I think it's going to come down to, you know, Kyle Shanahan just really considering the strength of his running back room, and it's pretty weak right now outside of Jeff Wilson. So, you know, this is the type of thing that at this point in the timeline you can play through. And I fully suspect Elijah Mitchell to be active this Sunday.
Yeah, Mitchell's definitely been the most effective running back in that room. It is a crowded room, but it seems like every year San Francisco just
not anymore
puts him in a blender and
yeah.
Yikes. Yeah. All right, Matthew, you said it, so I've got to send it to him. Eric, no. Hamstring time. Holy hamstrings, Batman. All righty. DeAndre Hopkins. He's as we talked about Kyler Murray, the Cardinals have a bye this week, but D-Hop's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He's known for his durability, but he's missed a couple weeks. It's kind of aggravating. When's he coming back? What do we think?
Tough to say. I mean, I think that he's already had, you know, a few weeks of rest. He's going to get another week of rest. I think it's totally possible that after the bye week, he returns. I think that managers are just going to have to keep watching the practice reports, following what the media is saying, following the coach speak. But, you know, it's important to note that, you know, we know that hamstring injuries can really limit a player's effectiveness even when they're on the field. They can crop up at the last minute and take you out of the game right before game time. And D-Hop, you know, as durable as he is, you know, he is a freak athlete, but he's also an older athlete. He's 29, I think. And that's going to play a role in his ability to, you know, return from this type of nagging injury. So, you know, I'm optimistic that he returns after the bye, but we'll know more the closer we get to that point.
Yeah, if he continues to miss, is there anybody in this offense that either of you guys are excited about at the receiver position or not really?
If you're in a PPR league, Rondale Moore could show up. You know, I think he had 11 targets, 11 receptions last week, regardless of his ADOT. But,
I mean, what do you think? AJ Green's kind of been a sneaky solid player this year. I've actually been playing him in a couple dynasty leagues that I got him super cheap on. I doubt in redraft you're planning, but if you got large roster, starting rosters and whatnot, I mean, he's been all right. Kind of wide receiver three range.
I wonder if we're going to say the same thing. Did you see, Kyle, that among running backs in the NFL, James Conner is tied for second in total touchdowns in the league.
I was listening to the game and they were talking about that. I was like, Jeez.
That is a sneaky productive player for a name that I feel like got dragged through the mud all offseason.
And knock on wood, I really don't want to jinx it, but I don't think we've had to talk about him on here yet this year. And that is very encouraging for James Conner as somebody who's usually on the injury report. So knock on wood for that.
I apologize to James Conner in advance because
don't come at me if I just jinxed it, but
season ending injury.
Gosh. Was that the trivia? Bye week. Did I just announce the trivia?
No, that wasn't the trivia. Not even close. No, what I was going to say is AJ Green, speaking of players of fantasy past, I mean, not quite the revival I was expecting. He was my Blake Griffin expectation this year, but not quite, but he's starting to make a comeback. We'll see.
Also not quite.
Yeah, what he said. That's that Detroit math again. All right, Matthew, Marquise Brown or Hollywood Brown, depending on how well he's playing. He's dealing with a thigh injury right now. There's a lot of okay options behind him, but he's been the star at receiver in Baltimore this year. Can we expect him back sooner than later?
Yeah, he's looked great this year so far. He missed last week's game. I can't imagine he misses another week because if I remember correctly, he was fairly close to playing last week, and it wasn't until Sunday that they ruled him out. And then you were also dealing with Lamar Jackson bubble guts and whatnot. So, I mean, there may have been more at play.
Technical disorder.
There may have been more at play to go with it. So I would think he plays, but just keep an eye on the practice reports on if he's getting full participation in practice this week.
I can't pull it together over here.
We're going to have to, whenever we talk to clients or patients, we're going to have to say, sir, you got a case of the Lamar Jackson bubble guts.
Lamar Jackson bubble
guts. I mean, did y'all see his waddle walking into the stadium?
He's never.
That man was not okay.
Classic gait pattern of the bubble guts.
Can we do that same run every morning?
On his dog to the bathroom?
Definitely not.
That coffee kicks in different. All righty.
Let's move on.
Back to Chicago. I don't know what's going on in Chicago, but Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson are both on the injury report this week, Eric. They do have a Thursday night game, so certainly something to monitor. Do we expect that one or both of these players may not be there?
I don't think that Allen Robinson will be there. I think that he's kind of in the same boat as DeAndre Hopkins, but with less time to rest and recover. And it's a short week, and the team is honestly not doing very well. And given Allen Robinson's low production level, you know, sometimes that does play an impact on the athlete's psyche, their willingness to put themselves through the grind of, you know, preparing on a short week when they're playing hurt. So I think given his anatomical timeline and then the context around this, I'm not optimistic that Allen Robinson suits up for this week. Darnell Mooney, he's being hampered by a foot injury. It's the same injury that had him limited in practice last week, and he went off this past Sunday. So, you know, it is very possible that playing so miraculously has, you know, aggravated or sensitized his foot injury that has been existing. But I expect Darnell Mooney to, you know, have active rest this week, be a limited participant, and then suit up for Thursday's game.
So you're expecting at least two or three Andy Dalton bombs to Darnell Mooney this week?
2 to 3, 4 to 5. Why not?
The red rifle to the moon, if you will.
I will.
I'm so sorry. Alrighty, Matthew. As mentioned, Matthew's just got his head in his hands right now. Tough one to follow. Sorry, Matthew. Alrighty. So in Cleveland, as I mentioned before, DPJ is a little banged up, but we also have Jarvis Landry with a knee injury on the report this week. Baker's banged up. Is he going to be able to shovel pass the ball forward to anybody?
The Browns are literally falling apart. Like, they're holding their team together with duct tape at this point. I mean, Donovan Peoples-Jones has had this groin injury that just won't go away, and he keeps re-aggravating it. And as you can see with groin injuries, like, Curtis Samuel's been out like all year because of one he got over the summer and just never completely recovered from. And then Jarvis Landry's dealing with this knee injury that he's playing through and trying to tough it out. But the Browns as a whole are just falling apart physically. And it sucks because there's a lot of interesting fantasy options there that just aren't really coming to fruition because their bodies can't stay in one piece for this entire season.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much Nick Chubb or nothing at this point. In deep leagues, if neither of these guys can go, especially Rashard Higgins would be the receiver that I would look to. And then the tight end position, Austin Hooper, actually over the past couple of weeks has had like 12 targets. He may be somebody that could produce for you in a pinch, especially if you're in a tight end premium league. But if it's not Nick Chubb, I'm definitely not excited and depending on them to give me a lot of points out of that offense. An offense that usually produces quite a bit, and I know Matthew is probably upset to watch that game this week, Dallas. They've got Amari Cooper, who's on the COVID list, has already been ruled out for Thursday, and CeeDee Lamb dealing with a concussion. Do we think he's going to be able to clear protocol in time?
I think it will be really tough for him to clear that. I don't think that, you know, what is it, Sunday? You have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's really three and some change days of recovery from a concussion, which, you know, a concussion, as we've talked about all year, is a traumatic brain injury. There is a protocol that he has to pass. And, you know, it's already Tuesday. I think Mike McCarthy said that they went through a light walkthrough practice, more like positional drills, non-contact, and CD was not able to be a part of that. So that gives you an indication of how low he is in the protocol stages. He's not advancing very quickly. He really only has one more day to get through all of the steps. I think he's going to be out and sitting on the bench with Amari Cooper.
Yeah, definitely tough to get through the protocol. It's like a five-step process, and it doesn't have to be one step per day. He could get through two or three in one day and get ready in time. But like you said, it's not looking likely. If you're looking for a receiver in that offense, it's pretty much Michael Gallup. Deeper leagues, Cedric Wilson's not a bad option. And with Blake Jarwin being out, Dalton Schultz may, you know, in a tight end position that's so thin league-wide, he's not a bad option, especially this week.
I like the Dalton Schultz-Tony Pollard combo for this week.
Yeah. Yeah, like we talked about earlier, Zeke, he was on the report, but he's looking healthy. I mean, Tony Pollard honestly could have a good week this week too. He might be, you know, catching some balls out of the slot or even out of the backfield, making himself a receiver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. All righty, Matthew, Jamal Agnew was one of the late season kind of surprises, kind of came out of nowhere for Jacksonville. But he's dealing with a hip injury. Can we expect to see him back this year at all? It's sounding pretty bleak.
No, he's already been put on season ending IR, and this hip injury, they haven't officially said what it was, but I went back and watched the video and it was kind of gnarly. Like, he got dragged down and I believe it was his right hip went into like almost hyper adduction, which is the only way I know how to describe it. And so for those out there that might not know what that is, basically if you cross your leg, one leg over the other one, that leg's going into adduction and it just went, like, it almost looked like it popped out of socket in a way, but it was gnarly. But he's going to be on season-ending IR, which is unfortunate for him because he was kind of having a solid season and maybe making his way into getting a bigger contract or something like that. But it was pretty bad injury.
Yeah, those are definitely injuries that you don't want to see. Obviously, we don't want to see any kind of injuries, but somebody like that who kind of came out of nowhere, and he was taking on the role that I think a lot of us thought Laviska Shenault was going to take on for them, doing a little bit of everything. He had one game where he was pretty much a running back. He had a couple games where he was a very serviceable fantasy receiver. With him going out, I mean, I don't know what other options they have. Is it finally Laviska Shenault time?
I hope so. It would make me feel better.
I think a lot of us are.
I think that time is over.
But yeah. No, it's not looking great for Shenault at this point. More like Chenault. Jags as a whole. But
should not ever.
Yeah, Jacksonville's difficult to watch right now. If you're looking for a really deep ad and you're in just a crazy league, I got to give a shout out to Santiago Casanova. He posted a stat earlier this week on Twitter about Laquon Treadwell actually had this, I believe it was the second most snaps at receiver this week for Jacksonville. So if you're in a really deep league and you need a speculative ad as a just in case, Laquon Treadwell might be your guy. Our last team we're going to cover at tight end, the Tennessee Titans. They're obviously dealing with a litany of injuries themselves, but added to the list this week was AJ Brown with both hand and chest injuries. Eric, what's his status right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's my understanding that the chest and rib injury has been the main focus of most of the medical attention. You know, they've been able to rule out serious injury, which can always include things like spleen or lung. I think it's going to come down to is, you know, pain management. Does AJ Brown feel ready to get tackled by a professional football player? They need him. I think that, you know, they're going to do everything they can to suit him up. But, you know, AJ Brown has been somebody to advocate for himself. He did that with his mental illness and, you know, to promote mental awareness. And I think that he may sit out this next week, you know, give himself the rest that he honestly needs. So I would, you know, if I was an AJ Brown owner, I would be prepared not to have him this week, but you know, anything is possible with a rib injury.
Yeah. And they have a bye next week. So if he does sit out this week, he'll have an extra week next week to rest, get healthy, and hopefully come back just before the fantasy playoffs. And on any note, they're playing the Patriots this week. The Patriots defense has been pretty good. He'd be likely matched up with JC Jackson, who's a very good cornerback option. So if he's not 100% going against a really good corner, not a matchup that I love. Filling in for him, obviously Julio Jones is still on IR. We have like everybody's banged up for them. I think their top receiving option would be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Who?
Good, you know, not somebody that I'm thrilled to throw out there. If you play DFS and you need somebody that's really cheap to fill in the flex spot and you've filled in the other spots, you know, maybe throw a dart. But outside of that, I'm not super keen on starting him. All righty. Last position group, the tight ends. So we've only got a few here. Matthew, Adam Trautman. He finally had a week where I was like, all right, he's finally here. And then he suffers an MCL sprain. How long are we going to expect New Orleans to be without him?
Well, he was put on IR, so at least 3 weeks, but all the reports are saying 4 to 6 weeks, which is really unfortunate because he has kind of last week was a good week for him, but he's kind of been sneaky good the past couple of weeks. So it's unfortunate, but in Dynasty, if you can get him kind of on the cheap, there's worse options for you. But I've actually picked him up on quite a few Dynasty teams off of waivers this year.
Wow.
Which was kind of funny, but so I've been trying to add him wherever I can, but maybe you can convince them, maybe you can send like a third and fourth round pick and that'll convince them to send him your way. Cause I mean, he, as we saw last week, he is a high upside tight end and there's promise for the future there, which if you can ever get a top tight end and hope someone emerges from that, that just sets you so far apart from everyone else in fantasy football.
Yeah, and if you're looking for somebody just to fill the void, if he was your starter and you have no other options, Juwan Johnson in New Orleans earlier in this year was able to catch a few touchdowns. He wasn't a super high volume guy, but he was a good red zone option for them. So I feel like he would be the natural fit to fill in for him. And then we've already mentioned him once. Why not throw it out there? Maybe Taysom Hill get some snaps at tight end again, and we can have that whole argument about what position he should be eligible at again. All right. All jokes aside,
are you trying to convince me to play Taysom Hill in DFS this week?
Only if he's tight end eligible.
Ah, okay.
Eric, I got to throw you a bone and let you talk about your Washington football team. Ricky Seals-Jones is dealing with a hip injury. What's the latest there?
Yeah, it's not looking too good for him. I think it's actually, you know, being classified as a hamstring in some media circles. I think that they're going to let him rest. They do have Logan Thomas, who is coming off of IR for his own hamstring injury. He still has to practice and, you know, be game ready. But I'm not optimistic about Ricky Seals-Jones for this coming week. They are going to be down to, I think, two backup tight ends if they do that. But I think that this is just the type of injury that you're going to need at least a week of rest. And I think they're getting a bit more optimistic with Logan Thomas.
Yeah, I was about to say, not so fast, my friend. I've heard rumblings that Logan Thomas might be able to come back off of IR this week. If so, that would be massive for Washington to get that weapon back. All righty. Well, that does it for all of our positional news. You guys have anybody that I missed or we feel like we should mention before we move on?
I love it.
Can't think of anybody.
It's been a few weeks since we've been at full strength, but gentlemen, it is time. You know what it's time for? It's time for some terrifically terrifying Thanksgiving turkey trivia.
Dios mío.
Matt, when just Kyle and I were running this, I got all the questions right, so I'm up by 10 right now.
Yeah, he's actually up 18-8 now.
Yeah.
What is let me get an update on our score. All right.
I think Matt's up by 1 or 2.
He is up by 2. I forgot about that on our last full strength pod.
That's right. I had home field advantage on the last.
Yeah, it was totally
Matt,
full strength pod.
Shut you out and got both of them right.
I kept changing my answers.
You did. You did. Go with your gut, man.
All right.
All righty. Let's get to it. For a score update, it is Matthew 10, Eric 8. But let's get down to it for some Thanksgiving trivia. All righty, gentlemen. The NFL has played games on Thanksgiving since it began in 1920. Beginning in 1989, CBS began the tradition of giving out an edible award for the game's most valuable player. No, not that kind of edible. Several of the other networks have joined in on the fun with their own Thanksgiving Day Game Awards. For 1 point each, how many of the network Thanksgiving MVP awards can you name?
Wow.
This is...
1 point each. I will give you a hint. There are 8 of them. So you can
are they
throw
all
them
edible?
Out. No, they are not all edible.
Okay.
There are 8 of them?
You don't have to name all of them, just some of them.
I don't even think I can name 8 networks.
I'll name the networks for you. So CBS has 1, 2, 3 different ones. Actually, no, okay. It's 2. They changed it and then went back a couple years ago. Fox has had 1, 2, 3, 4. NBC has had 1, and the NFL Network has 1. Among those that are edible, CBS started out with an edible one, changed to a non-edible, went back to edible.
Wow.
They went back to the original. They did. Fox started out with an edible award. The NFL Network's award is edible. And that's it.
Okay.
Think about...
How many random things can we list?
Think about post-game Thanksgiving Day when they're being interviewed. Think about it.
Okay.
I did not expect this to come to you guys that much. I'm not going to lie.
Hang on.
Some hard thinking going on ended up being here.
I'm feeling powered up from these elbow patches.
It's the elbow patches.
No fair.
He looks like a professor.
He looks like he's got the professor jacket.
Oh, I came prepared for trivia today.
Alrighty.
All right,
I've listed what I can, right. So I don't know.
Go ahead and reveal your answers, gentlemen. Turkey. All righty, so Eric said turkey, basket, turkey leg, bowl of mashed potatoes, pilgrim hat.
And Matthew these
said,
are awards.
Matthew said... The Turkey Day MVP, the Mashed Potato Award. We got 2 mashed potatoes, the Pumpkin Pie Award, the Gobble Gobble Award, and the Backyard Football Award.
I don't know.
Wow. Well, out of all of those answers, only one is correct, and that is Eric's turkey leg.
Yes!
Oh, my gosh, yes!
In 1989, CBS started the CBS Turkey Leg Award, which was awarded first to Reggie White. That ran through 1993, and then it became the CBS All-Iron Award, beginning in 1998. That ran until 2018, when CBS switched back to the Turkey Leg Award, and it was awarded to Josh Allen that year.
Oh.
In 1994, Fox took over the Thanksgiving Day games with their Fox Turkey Leg Award. In 2002, they changed to the Fox Galloping Gobbler Award. In 2017, it changed to the Fox
Gobble Gobble Award.
You weren't galloping while you're gobbling.
Galloping. The gallop is important. Hey,
this is for running backs.
Hey, there's a dark horse pick for you this year for the hold on for a second. I'll get back to that.
Yeah,
so 2017, it was the Fox Game Ball. 2019, they changed it to the Fox WWE Championship Belt.
Ooh, I like that.
But that hey, makes no sense. Speaking of galloping gobblers, this Thursday, look out for Michael Gallup to win him a Fox WWE Championship Belt.
Wonder what the betting odds on that are.
I don't know.
60% of the time.
And then our last two, the NFL Network has the Pudding Pie Award. So close. When I saw pumpkin pie.
Wow. Oh,
the pudding pie. Like what?
The wrong kind of pie.
Right. And then NBC in 2012 switched to the NBC Player of the Game. Alrighty.
Oh, boring.
So 1 point awarded to Matt. Excuse me. To Eric. He cuts that's into right. the lead. It is now 10-9.
Yes.
However, it's a holiday, boys. You know I've got a bonus question for you. So bonus points. Which player in NFL history has earned the most Thanksgiving Day MVP awards? Yes, I went through and counted.
Wow.
This player, you know what? There's two bonus points up for grabs. Name the player and tell me how many they've won.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
The award started in 1989, so it's not that old of a player.
'89, you say?
That's when the award began being awarded. I was just saying that so you didn't guess. Like, I don't know. Oh, it's time for me to take my trash out. That was nice for me to turn that off, wasn't it?
I got a notification to check my waivers.
Also, that is much more important than taking the trash to the road, honestly.
I have to set reminders to do fantasy football things.
That's when you know you're in just enough leagues. Eric thought I was going to say too many. Never. All right, okay. Boys.
I'm ready, I think.
Yep. Who has won the most and how many have they won? Let's get those answers in 3, 2, 1.
Ooh.
Hey, you both got the player correct. It is Emmitt Smith. However, you split the difference. It is 5. Oh my goodness gracious.
Wow, nice, Matt.
Matthew said 4, Eric said 6. I was really hoping that one did not get missed, especially by the Cowboys fan. I gotta quit giving out.
Yeah, no,
you just keep doing what you're doing.
Emmitt Smith,
hanging in there.
Emmitt Smith split the award in 1990 with Troy Aikman, split it in 92 between himself and the entire Cowboys offensive line. In 94, he split it with Jason Garrett, and apparently they awarded it to both teams. So it was him and Jason Garrett, as well as Brett Favre and Sterling Sharp in 94. That's crazy. Apparently, you all
Jason Garrett has that going for him, I guess.
In 1996, he won it himself. Days. And in 2002, he won it himself. Yeah. Speaking of Jason Garrett, he's a free agent. So if you're looking for a coach, sign him up.
If you're looking for 2-yard run plays, he's your guy.
All righty.
Come back.
There we go. Alrighty, boys. Well, that will do it for us tonight on the Next Man Up Injury Podcast. We've got to give a big shout out to John C. Music for all of our intro and outro music. You can find him, johncmusic@gmail.com, and that's johnseemusic@gmail.com. Do not type in johnsee music. That guy is not in the Thanksgiving spirit this time of year. So make sure you get the right John C. Gentlemen, where can I find you on social media, Eric?
All right, I am the Nighthawk PT. You can find me on Twitter at @FF_Nighthawk.
And Matthew, where can we find you, sir?
You can find me on Twitter at @FantasyFerret.
All righty. Well, that'll do it for us. My name is Kyle Allen. You can find me on Twitter at @KAllen_4. Have a fantastic Thanksgiving. Enjoy some food, your family, some football, your friends, whatever you're doing for Thanksgiving. Have fun. Be safe. Peace.
Adios.
Oh, he's gone.
Oh. And apparently we're still live.
All right.
Okay. This is Kyle.
More trivia.
Well, this got interesting.
And don't forget, the best ability is availability.